Hello.
Hello. Hello.
And welcome to the podcast. What's it called?
Raph and Males Review the World.
A very catchy name for a podcast. Why is it called that? What do we do?
Me as Males and you as Raph.
I'm Raph. Hello. Hi.
We are reviewing everything in the world.
Yeah. All the things in the world, one thing at a time. Review them all, give them a score out of 10. Categorize them into a system. And then it's like a resource for all of humanity.
So yes.
That in the future, in thousands of years' time, people will be thinking, oh, what did they have back then? Oh, they had Apple products. What were they all about? Oh, well, they got like a 7 out of 10. They were all right.
Yeah.
Pretty
good.
Do you
think there'll be a time when the British Library will start adding podcasts and we'll be in it?
Yeah, I think we'll be the reason they start adding podcasts, because they'll just hit a point where they're like, we've got too much stuff.
Yeah.
British Museum might actually start it. We've got all this shit piling up, like thousands of years worth of bric-a-brac. And like, we've got no way of categorizing it. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, the answer's been in front of us the whole time. We've got this categorical list of everything that exists and a mark of 0 to 10.
Yeah, so you'll go to a section and it'll be like, rugby.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, they'll be like, right, too long, didn't read. It's what they say.
Yeah, exactly. It'll just be
wanna know
down.
More? Dive into all this load of old guff.
Yeah, and it'll just be, oh, man, the rugby exhibition in the British Museum.
But
would be
boring
as hell.
Boring.
One bit of admin to get off my chest up front. I think the editing quality of these podcasts might be taking a steep downward turn
okay.
from this point out. Welcome to season 3 of Raph and Males Review the World. It's just slightly worse because I've got a job now and I haven't got like necessarily a morning to. I'm going to go from spending about 3 hours editing these things to about half an hour.
Cool.
Of which 20 minutes we'll be typing subject name and soca into YouTube and seeing what comes out the other end.
All right. Well, how about we'll split the workload?
Yeah.
We'll do that.
All right.
I'm up for that.
Yeah. I'll be up for you joining in researching. The song choice. Because I've actually, you know, I think I've done all right. But I've got a style.
Wonderful job.
And, you know, maybe we need to start changing it up a little bit. So on that note, here's a piece of music which Males has picked as what he thought would be an appropriate song to put in here before our first review. Can't believe you chose that. It was
I love that.
Inspired.
I mean, it's no Chris Isaak Wicked Game,
no.
But it's close.
Yeah. Yeah, it had a slight Isaac flavour to it.
Yes.
It was like a new twist on an old formula. Right, I'm doing the first review.
Yes.
I should preface this by saying I haven't really thought about it very much in terms of what I'm gonna say or how I'm gonna go about it.
You say that like we do normally think about these.
I normally think about it slightly more than I have today, which combined with the fact that I'm not gonna be editing this as much as I normally would, means we might be up for a wild ride here.
Cool.
We might go some places, either that or it might just be a lot of long pauses where we try and think of things to say. All of that said,
we're getting better. We're getting better at this. Who would have thought?
I don't think we're getting better, but I think the expectations of the audience are getting lower and lower.
Yeah.
So we're more likely to exceed them rather than coming drastically underneath. And I'm just trying to aid that process by setting the expectations as low as they can possibly go and still somehow manage to limbo underneath. But anyway, this week I am reviewing music festivals.
Yes.
It is festival season. And I can tell that because I'm looking out the window and it is grey and raining.
Yeah.
But it's still somehow uncomfortably warm.
It's been pissing it down, yet it's still muggy.
Yeah. perfect festival weather. What's the rainiest festival you've ever been to?
I went to that one Gatecrasher. They only did it for 1 year because the weather was so bad it destroyed the main stage.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
Yeah, and I didn't realise I was going. I woke up there. I wasn't meant to be going, and I had quite a heavy night the night before.
You got press ganged like a pirate.
I agreed to some things that I don't think I remember agreeing to.
And you woke up in Gatecrasher.
I woke up in Gatecrasher in Hampshire.
Yeah.
With a carrier bag that had a t-shirt and a can of airspray in it. And that's all I had for 2 days. World's worst festival.
I've only known one other friend go to Gatecrasher. And it's a really similar story. Where they like somehow decided that right at the last minute to go to this festival. Went, realised they had nothing, and like just had to live on mud for 2 or 3 days, and then came back claiming like they'd had a good time, when they definitely had a terrible time.
Because you know me, I'm not a night owl.
No.
So going to a festival that I'm waking up at 7, 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
The festival sort of stopped at like 9:10 in the morning and didn't start again till like 8 in the evening. So I'd catch like the final 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then I'd just be on my own.
Oh, so you'd wake up at like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
It would still be going from the night before, but it would just be winding down.
Yeah, I'd have terrible sleep.
Yeah.
Because there'd just be hellish noise constantly. I'd wake up thinking, cool, let's start the day. Woo, yeah, let's get into this. That everyone else would go to bed apart from me.
And then it's just you puttering around.
In a dead festival on my own.
Just surrounded by like mud and horror.
Yeah, wishing I was dead.
Yeah, that sounds great. How old are you?
22.
All right.
21.
I feel like that's... You go through bands when you're going to festivals. Like when you're young, you just put up with the worst kind of bullshit. Like, I went to Leeds Festival. It was one of the first I went to when I was 19, I think. And even at the time, I thought, like, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah.
It's awful. One of my favourite memories ever from a festival is on the last night of Leeds Festival when everybody was, like, burning shit down and just having a riot for fun.
Yeah, sounds about right.
It was shortly after the release of 300. And this fucking rough-looking... Lad, in my head he's from Donny, but he could have just been from from Kezzy, could have been from
Cas Vegas,
Kaz, could have been from Chezzy,
yeah,
could have been from any number of like Izzy sounding places. But he just came storming up to us with like a pole in his hand and his top off, and I think his t-shirt was like wrapped around his head. He just went, "Have you heard? 100 Spartans broke into main arena and fucked toilets up." And then he just ran off into the night. And it was wicked. And we were all like, yeah. Because we were 19 and into that kind of shit. But yeah, that you kind of go through that phase of like waking up and, I don't know, just making it as horrible for yourself as possible. The first festival I ever went to, I had no idea what I was taking. I went to the corner shop to buy food to take with me. I bought 20 like sweet buns, really dry little cakes, and like that was what I lived on for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, I think I did a similar thing. I think I lived on cherry Bakewells and Kit Kats.
Yeah, it was like
for the duration.
Poor decision making all round. You're just like constantly dehydrated. You're constantly just like...
It's just grubby.
You get there and you realise, like, I brought a pillow.
No.
I've just brought nothing. I'm just, like... No. I brought, like, a tent that I either, like, nicked from my mum's house or I, like, borrowed from a mate or something. Don't know how to put it up. Like, put it halfway up and, like, there's all these strings hanging off it. You're like, what the fuck are these for? And then you just get in and you lie down on a hard ground and it's awful... but you don't give a shit because you're 19 and you're away from home and you're like having a great time with your mates and you're pissed the whole time and like you haven't, you know, it's all so new that you can just tolerate all of that kind of nonsense easily. But like as you get older and older, you're like, your ability to prepare gets much better and your tolerance for like awful shit gets much lower.
Yeah, because it gets to a level where you've prepared so much, you're like,
I might as well
why don't I just go normal camping?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Why am I putting up with these twats?
I've got all this dope stuff, but now I've got to like carry it for like 2 hours across this massive field while dodging like people who are like piss people.
And just try and find like a little slice of sanctuary somewhere.
Find somewhere that's like not already taken and maybe on a bit of a hill so it doesn't get flooded and that kind of stuff. And then you've got all the thing of like, I brought a blow up mattress and I bought a pillow and like I've got a nice sleeping bag and I know how to put on my tent and all that kind of stuff. But I'm still camped next to the 24-hour Gabba tent. What's going on?
Now, I remember one year we decided, we were like a crew of us, and we got, you know those big, the strings you never know what to do with?
Yeah.
We thought, we'll tie all of ours together, like creating a perimeter.
A protective ward.
Yeah, and we're like, this'll be ours.
Yeah.
That all goes to shit at 4 a.m. when someone's stumbling back and pulls everyone's tent down.
Yeah.
Like some maniac guy on a mission.
Yeah, like you. I've definitely done that before. Like, you know, gone to... Sometimes as well, if you've like... You've been drinking, you've had a big night, whatever.
Yeah.
You kind of go to lie down and then you just need to piss 4 times in a row and you can't sleep. And so you're just like getting up, stumbling away to some horrible toilet. And every time you're like... I did this at Glastonbury. There was like one guy rope that was right in my way and I was like seeing it every time. And then on the fourth time, I just went straight into it. It was like not somebody I knew. So I just had to just leg it away.
Part of the fucking thing now. Like
the
amount of people's tents I've fallen into. And just like, oh, sorry. Just like, God, like ran off.
Like, I alternate at a lot of festivals between like being, getting annoyed by people causing those kind of problems. Like the person who's like, being really loud near your tent or like stumbling into your tent or being that person to other people where I'm the dickhead who's like come back to the tent and is just like sitting up
and like
singing songs.
I think it's usually like on the first few nights I'm the sensible one and then it's the last night where I just get so frustrated. I think, right, fuck it. Yeah. Here's a taste of your own medicine. Yeah. I'm going to be the worst. And I just go all in.
Yeah, I've done that before of like, exactly that. Like, you kind of hit a point where you're like, well, if, you know what, I need to double down on this and become part of the problem because I'm not part of the solution right now. But I've also done the opposite, which is turn up the first night, go way too big, way too hard, and just take myself out of the game.
Oh, yeah, that's, you don't want to do that.
For many days.
So you said wettest festival.
Yeah.
I've had driest festival.
Yeah.
Went to Download at Donington.
And where's Donington?
Donington's like down past Derby Way, I want to say.
Okay.
It's like halfway.
It's in the middle.
Yeah, middle bit. And though it was just the hottest 3 days in the world. And you're on a racetrack.
Yeah.
Like on the out, like surrounded. The festival's like
so within no the shelter, racetrack. No trees.
Nothing. Absolutely
like
nothing. Yeah. And people were like just queuing for water. Like, just hour-long queues just for tap water, and it was just hell. Like, we kept passing out in the day because it was so hot.
I can imagine Download being, like, a rough one. I feel like rock festivals
people are not as rough.
Because, one, like, people are drinking and no one's doing drugs.
Yeah.
And say what you like about people on drugs. They're normally less... They cause less havoc than drug people.
Well, they are on drugs, but their drug of choice... is speed.
Okay, yeah.
Because I remember we were there, I must have been about 18, and we were like, oh, get scared weed, because that's like every 18-year-old, that's all they're bothered about.
Yeah.
So we were just, my mate was running around trying to buy weed, and he just kept going back, he's like, everyone's just got speed. He's like, do you want speed? I'm like, I really don't want speed, mate. But then luckily one night, we were just like, doing something really loud and obnoxious, and then all these Welsh goths, like, befriended us and they had loads of weed.
Oh,
so we smoked weed with all these Welsh goths and that was quite interesting.
Yeah, that's one of the good things about festivals is that, like, you do just... Well, you have adventures. Like, weird shit happens because there's thousands of people all, like, out to have... to get into some weird shit. And everyone's really friendly to strangers. So you can quite easily just, like, bump into a pack of strangers, go off with them for a few hours and, like, let the night take you away. That's one of the best things about festivals, I think, is, you know, the license to do that kind of thing, to just go off and get lost a bit and sort of do things you wouldn't normally do, like talk to Welsh people.
I quite enjoy, one of my favourite things is, at Leeds, it was just shouting bollocks
Oh, we've got someone at the door. We've got a guest. Our guest has arrived.
I'll pause.
You just heard a little bit of interlude music that Males picked from YouTube.
Yeah.
While we introduce our guest who's just arrived, introducing to the podcast our first special guest, number one fan of the podcast, Mr. Angus Morgan.
Number one fan. Number one hat.
Yes. Yeah, we have, as promised,
finally got it.
I think this is the first time we've ever actually carried out any of the things that we've promised to do on this podcast. We promised to do an episode in the woods.
Yeah.
We promised to do an episode on a boat.
We did, yeah.
We promised to assemble a team that would go on the actual Crystal Maze, the TV programme.
Oh, yeah, right, wanted to do that one as well.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, I didn't get an invite to that.
Yeah, well, did you leave us a review on iTunes?
Yeah, it was great.
I think that's
Yeah. Of course you did, number one fan.
Because I was going to say, to the same token, the audience have not followed through on anything we've asked them either.
Some of them have.
Three
of them have, yeah, that's true. But, you know, at least it's reciprocal. But in this case, we promised a number one fan hat to our number one fan, Mr. Angus Morgan. And he is sitting there wearing that hat and pulling it off with aplomb.
It's a beautiful hat.
Yeah, we'll put that picture of the hat and the man on our page somewhere.
Oh, Jesus.
So that people can see the magic in action. But we were in the middle of talking about festivals.
Yes, I remember now. I was going to say, best thing about Leeds Festival is that everybody shouts bollocks for no reason, and the whole people there start shouting bollocks. At Download, they did a great one because there was an airport nearby. Every time a plane went over, everyone just shouted plane.
That's really good.
So much so that we were during Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne stopped and just went, plane!
That's really good.
But that might be because he's on loads of drugs.
Yeah, that could have just been a genuine one. Maybe he's the original trendsetter.
Yeah.
I think there was a year or two, you're getting a lot of Stevens going around festivals.
Yeah, that was the Adam and Joe thing.
Yeah. It was a thing on the Adam and Joe podcast where people would
Rival podcast.
Don't listen to it.
Yeah, as well.
Never even heard of it.
They had some stupid catchphrase. It was not as good as our catchphrase. We came up with
our closing gambit.
Does anybody remember what our closing gambit is?
Yeah, it is.
Don't say it.
All right.
Don't say it.
I had to write it down so we'd remember it. That's how memorable it is.
Good work. what were we on about with festivals? Oh, bollocks, right?
Yeah, shouting
That's
bollocks.
That's really good on the first day. And then on the third day, you hate everybody with every fibre of your being who says it.
Oh, I love it still.
Oh, really?
I miss it.
You're the one.
My mum and dad wouldn't get involved, but I'd be shouting bollocks in the house.
Just leaning out your window going, bollocks!
Yeah.
By yourself.
Hey, dad, get this one.
Bollocks!
No, he's not on board.
So what have your festival experiences been like, Gus?
Nothing but negative. I hate camping. I hate crowds.
Yeah.
I hate loud noises.
Yeah.
I hate paying too much for beer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I despise them.
It sounds like they're probably not going to be your cup of tea then.
No.
Would you like to go and camp in the middle of a crowd while you're surrounded by loud noises?
Yeah, it's awful. I went to one in the south of Spain.
Yeah.
So that also added extreme heat.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sand in my tent.
Yeah.
Oh. Fuck that.
Yeah.
We were talking about hot festivals.
I think hot festivals are the problem.
I went to one in Serbia. Where there was a campsite in the middle of a dust bowl, basically.
That was just like,
the sun would be beating down your tent at about 6 in the morning. So you'd have to come outside, and then the wind would blow, and you're covered in sweat, and then you're covered in dust that just stuck to you.
All right,
it was hard work.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Where's the worst place to put a festival?
Yeah.
And where's the best place to put a festival?
Best? Firstly, anywhere that's got places to sleep that aren't camping. A Butlin's or something like that.
Oh, no, I'm thinking if you've got to literally pick it up and plonk it somewhere.
Right. I think you want to be by the sea. You want to be somewhere warm. And you want to be, but also kind of shady.
So where's the worst?
Worst, northern Scotland, maybe.
See, I think that would be all right. Because I think
Siberia.
It has to be a bit colder.
Yeah.
For it to be, I reckon a cave would be great.
Cave would be awesome. Football. Yeah.
I think a cave really would be a good shout.
Yeah, that'd be great. It'd have to be like a whole cave system.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could have like the chill out cave. You could have the
like a hamster cave. Yeah. Cage, but in cave setup.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Yeah, yeah, that'd
be fucking cool.
I just think anywhere hot would be hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dubai.
Yeah, Dubai would be a really. Although you like, they'd probably just dome the whole thing and air condition it.
Yeah, no.
So it'd be great as long as you could ignore like the plight of the slave workers who built it for you.
Or if you put a festival within a shopping centre.
That could be really good, potentially. Yeah. If it was like...
Midnight, like an abandoned shopping centre.
Oh, an abandoned... I was thinking like with shoppers like bustling around you and you're still in the middle.
Walking past, walking your head on E.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're just in a vest and short shorts. I went to... I did go to one at a Butlins and it was like an all-night... dance festival.
Oof.
And it was the some of it was really surreal, so you'd just be during the day walking around the Butlins and there would be all these people like zombies because they'd been up doing like pills and stuff the night before, just, and it looked a bit like a zombie takeover film because there's all these like grey lifeless people sort of shuffling around a deserted Butlins. And you could also go late at night to like the entertainment centre and have a go on DDR and stuff like that, which is good. We talked about like some of the downsides of festivals, but, and this may not be a question which you're able to answer, Gus. I don't want to be purely negative about these things. I want to like, what are some highs that you remember? Like some real best festival moments?
I mean, like the good one is like you already touched on, the final night at Leeds when everyone just burns everything.
Yeah.
Like that is funny and scary. And awful.
Yeah, it kind
of... All at the same time.
It allows you to channel a little bit of, like, the animal inside that you don't normally let out into society.
Yeah, I think some people... I remember one time seeing a tent getting chucked on a fire with someone in it. That was quite grim. But I always liked when people throw the gas bottles on them. And because there'd be loads of fires and you're on a hill.
Oh, yeah.
So you could just look and it literally looked like the apocalypse was like happening. Because just explosions randomly going off. But that's the north, innit?
It wasn't even a festival. It was just Friday night in Chesney.
Donny Town Centre.
Yeah. I think it's one of the good things about festivals is that in general they let you do the stuff that you know, all the stuff you kind of, you think you want to do all the time.
Yeah.
And then actually it turns out you do it for like 2 or 3 days. And like, I do want to go back to a world of rules and order.
It does make you realise, no, I don't want to live this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought I could be cool, but no.
I always find I have like at least one like moment in a festival where I'm just suddenly like, I hate this. I can't be, I need to leave right
this
now.
This is the thing, because you really, like, I hate going to gigs now.
Yeah.
So why do I want to go to multiple gigs in a field with fucking loads of people I don't like?
But having said that, like, I've done some, you know, I've had moments at festivals which are some of the funniest, best things.
Yeah. Well, best times I've spent with mates. That just you, did you think it was funny because everything else was so dire?
Possibly, yeah. There was that time I sat on that guy. I thought it was a bench.
What?
That is one of my proudest moments. We'd come back, like, it was like end of a night winding down.
Yeah.
And I was going up to strangers. It's already quite an embarrassing story. I was just going up to strangers and going like, do you want me to blow your mind? And they were like, what? And then I was just start rapping to them. I don't defend that behaviour, but I was, you know, it was like 4 a.m. I wasn't quite in my right frame of mind. But I went over to do this to some kids that were like 17 or something, just because I thought it'd be funny. And I sat down on this bench and started talking to them. I just got chatted. I was chatting to them for about 20 minutes. And then the bench I was on started like wriggling around and really freaked me out. I was like, what the fuck? And it turned out it was just some dude that I'd been sitting on for 20 minutes. And there's two kids I was talking to. I was like, why didn't any of you tell me I was sitting on like just some guy? And they were just looking at me like, we thought I was your mate. And like, you obviously knew you were just sitting on some dude. So like that, you know, stuff like that. I wouldn't do that in my everyday life. You have to be in a special kind of liminal zone where the normal rules don't apply.
I think I'm past that now.
Well,
I think that part of my life peaked a long time ago.
Do you think you'll ever go for like a glamping festival? Now that we're talking at the beginning about like when you're young, you go to a festival and you just rough it and you sleep in the dirt and you drink your own piss and everything's terrible. And then you get older, you're like, I remember seeing my brother at a festival once, sitting outside a teepee wearing like pristine shorts and like a shirt and stuff, eating a pint of Winkles with a pin. That's like next level glamping. Do you think you'll ever like reach that stage and go back for a festival in like a camper van or like a yurt or something like that?
Well, the missus always wants to go to Glastonbury.
Yeah.
And I've never been either, but I've got no, I don't think I've actually, no matter how nice you made it, I'm all right.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather do something else.
Well, the money you can spend in Glastonbury, you could go and like, you can literally have like a teepee with a double bed in it and you've got your own shower and that kind of stuff. But at that point, you're paying like 700 quid or something.
I know.
You could go to like Spain for a week. You could just have like a proper nice holiday. but you know, it's what you're into, I guess. And this is my review.
Yeah, go on. What are you giving it?
So all we've really done is just recount a bunch of anecdotes and stuff that's happened in festival. There's been very
season
little...
three, baby. That's what we're doing.
Very little analysis or really thinking anything through. But all in all, I think I'm going to give festivals an 8 out of 10. I think they're like, I don't really want to go to any anymore. but I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
And for all the rough times, I would never be one of those people that keeps festival bracelets on their arm all the time and like, you know, has to go to
people.
5 a year and all that kind of shit.
Those people need to get a grip.
No, there's other stuff. There's other stuff out there besides just going to festivals. But 7 out of 10, actually. Unprecedented. I'm going to knock them off. Like, they're all right. If you haven't been to a festival, go to a festival. It's all right.
So, coming up, that was Raph's review.
That was my review. 7 out of 10. Conclusive.
Now, festival music that I've got to try and find.
Yeah. We should make a note of all the music you've got to find.
I'll be fine.
It'll be fine. We'll definitely remember. All right, festival music. We're back. Great festival music. Loved it. We're going to keep it quite snappy in this middle section because we've got a longer final section where we're going to shoot. We haven't really discussed this
We'll discuss it at the time.
But we've got plans in mind for a longer final section. So we're going to shoot through a little bit of feedback. I did have one thought, which is that we should start calling this middle bit Correspondence Corner.
All right. I like it.
And, you know,
put a kink in the middle.
Like, what's the point of it? Don't know. We wanted to put something in the middle, but there's no real point to it. But it's where we get our feedback. We have our check-ins. We interact with the audience. And
new items every episode.
New items every episode.
Still keeping that. We kept one promise.
Yeah.
New items every episode.
Starting with our weekly Love Island check-in. Gus, what are your thoughts on Love Island?
I've remained blissfully unaware of this whole thing. I've seen adverts on TV, but it's not for me.
You're more of a Cam and Jamie man? More of a Mon and Alex? It kind of sucks.
Don't tell me you've started watching it again.
I've started watching it, I know what's going on. Mon and Alex. Mon was everyone's favourite. Everyone loved her, but now she's like gone around being a bit too bitchy to other people, a bit too scathing, bringing everyone down. So I think she probably lost a bit of a fan base.
What a surprise. One of them's an arsehole. Who would have thought that?
She's just being herself, you know, but it turns out is like a bit of a bitch.
When you get six people together, it is the law that one of them's got to be an arsehole.
Yeah.
The rules. This is as far as I'd learned it.
There's only three of us here and two of us are arseholes.
well, we need to desperately find like 9 more people. Yeah,
we're absolutely tipping the balance.
God, that was me, my panicked math then. Like the fear in my eyes.
It was good. I've got a lot of respect for the speed with which you did that mental maths. So yeah, just to check in on Love Island, I'm going Cam and Jamie all the way. Jamie, he's like the perfect man, really, isn't it?
You're just going to get silence from us, mate.
All right. fidget spinner check-in.
Fidget spinner check-in!
How's everyone's fidget spinners going? You still using it?
Still greased up, still lovely, still working. Using it? I bought a new one.
Yeah?
I bought a new one, yeah.
That's good. I had...
I was drunk again in a shop that sold them, so I had to buy one.
I haven't brought my fidget spinner with me.
We'll leave mine where it be.
All right. Yeah, it is a bit of a conversation killer if you're in a social situation to have a fidget spinner out. I've speaking to our friends Tom and Becky.
Yeah,
they've now got a fidget spinner.
Nice.
I think they were influenced by the power of our words.
Good.
And went out there and got one. A friend came round to my house about a week ago and was looking at our fidget spinner. He's got his own fidget spinner.
Yeah.
And he was like jealous of how good my fidget spinner is compared to his. And
you've just reminded me of something
I've
weird.
Got the best, what I'm trying to say is, I've got the best fucking fidget spinner.
I had a dream about fidget spinners the other day.
What?
I had a dream that I was in a really long corridor in a hotel, and I realised if you got it spinning really quick and threw it, it like glided.
Cool.
And I was just doing that down this really long corridor, and I thought it was amazing.
That is a pretty good dream.
But it's quite sad in reality. Yeah. That's what I'm dreaming about.
have you got in on the fidget spinner craze, Gus, or are you tempted to get in on the craze?
I mean, ordinarily, I would have nothing but disdain for something like that.
Yeah.
I generally hate those kind of things, but I don't know if I'm getting more mellow in my old age.
Yeah.
But I find them pretty inoffensive.
They're so you've gone from outright hatred, like a younger, more fiery Gus would have had, to just ambivalence.
Yeah, like when we had things like Pogs and stuff like that, I was just like, I don't see the point. I don't know why anyone's wasting their money on those.
Yeah.
And now I just think, live and let live. If you want to waste your money on
Pogs. Fucking hell, what's happened to Gus?
Yeah. I think it's the hat. It's really like,
maybe it's really like the beast.
God, the hat's going to ruin the podcast. What the fire.
Right, Love Island check-in done. Fidget spinner check-in done.
My review.
Yeah, that's all the feedback. We're going to go have some more music. Correspondence Corner music, and then we'll go...
Oh, God, that's going to be a difficult
one. Yeah, a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you reckon we can start diverting from Soca now we're in season 3?
Yes.
Should we pick a new genre?
Yeah, but I don't know what that should be. Maybe something Korean. Maybe K-pop.
Ooh.
I'd say yes. That's a good shout.
All right. I'll try and find some K-pop.
We'll have some K-pop, and then we'll come back with Mills' review. Like magic, innit? It's funny having our number one fan here, because you can see now behind the curtain how the magic is done.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be our number one fan after this. I do realise how shit it is.
Right, what are you reviewing today, Males?
I am doing The Wonderful World of Weatherspoons.
Oh,
where's your head immediately going to, Gus?
It's a battle between head and heart. In my heart, I just think, no.
Yeah.
It's wrong on so many levels of Weatherspoon. But my head just says, cheap beer.
Yeah.
I really like cheap beer.
In your wallet.
My wallet. Yeah.
Which is in his head.
Yeah. Which he keeps in his head.
He put the chip and pin thing in his head, like we suggested.
Just headbutt. Yeah.
I've gone for this because I'm going through a bit of a renaissance with Weatherspoons as of late.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get to that a bit later on as to why that's happened.
Yeah.
What I want to do.
Yeah. Have you got a structure for us?
I have.
Amazing.
Structured males is what they call me. I'm going to take you back, cast your minds back. Back long ago to a cold wintry eve in Leeds.
Yeah.
Leeds. Where I had a job at Weatherspoons.
Right. The Cuthbert Broderick.
The Cuthbert Broderick. And for legal reasons, we're going to be referring to everything that went on there as my friend Stephen.
Yes. I remember your friend Stephen well.
My friend Stephen got up to a lot of antics at Weatherspoons as pretty much 90% of the workforce at Weatherspoons hate their lives and hate that fucking place. They do it no favours on a regular basis.
What? When your friend Stephen worked there, which would he hate more? His life, the place, or the customers?
It'd be place, customers, and life.
In that order?
Well, it'd change throughout the day.
Yeah.
So in the morning, at the beginning of your shift, it'd be the place, customers, your life. Then towards the end, it'd be your life, customers, and the place. Because towards the end, you sort of think, no, I've done this to myself.
Yeah.
I'm the one to blame for all of this.
So what is Stephen used to be up to?
So, to try and improve terrible situations.
Yeah.
This is literally just going to be me reading off anecdotes.
To take the edge off.
Yeah, I mean,
we can get the inside perspective of what it's like to work in Spoons, and then we can talk about the customer perspective.
Yeah,
afterwards.
So initially, as I thought something about this was before I worked there, student, it was great.
Yeah,
you get your rough ones, you get your all right ones.
Do you remember the first time you went to a Weatherspoons? Because
Donny, Tuesday night, used to do steak night and a steak night and a pint for £4, and then we'd go out on Tuesday night because Tuesday night was sweaty night. Which was like metal night. We called in Donny, metalheads are called sweaties.
Right.
So it was Tuesday night, sweaty night. We'd all meet up there straight from school. Then we'd just get on it at 5-6 o'clock.
Yeah. I think the Broccoli Barge was probably our closest Weatherspoons.
Yeah.
And that was a bit of a lunchtime special when we were at school because it was just close enough that you could walk down, buy a drink. They weren't very strict on their ID policies and make it back in time for the afternoon.
That's the thing, they were at this Weatherspoons.
Yeah.
They were just terrible at it. Because everywhere was the challenge 21 thing. We're we're all 16.
In those halcyon days where you're 16 years old, you were loving Weatherspoons, it was like the gateway to the wonderful world of alcoholism.
I don't think we were loving it. It just served a purpose that was where we started our night.
Yeah.
Because we did it every Tuesday, they knew us.
Yeah.
They knew our order. And it's we're massively underage, yet you treat us as regulars.
Like real people.
Yeah.
I think we've early on hit one of the key features about Weatherspoons is that it's functional. It serves a purpose.
Yeah.
And I think we'll come back to that when we talk more about our customer experiences. But first, I want you to take me inside take me inside the mind of a Weatherspoons employee.
So Stephen used to do all these crazy things to cope with. Because you'd have a shift. He'd have a shift, should I say. Start at 2 in the afternoon on a Saturday and finish when it's shut.
I've been in Leeds on a Saturday.
Yeah.
In the centre of town. Even in that Weatherspoons, it's not great.
No. He told me it was terrible.
Yes.
Because it'd shut at 1.
Yeah.
Then you'd be clean, because it were a big one.
Yeah.
So you'd be cleaning till 3-4 o'clock.
Because
you wouldn't get home till 4-5 and you'd start at 2.
Yeah.
And your feet, you just wanted to rip your feet off.
Yeah.
But to get through it, there used to be great things because they have lots of bottled beers there. So what you do is you're like, oh, they need some more. Pick up a crate of bottled beers, drink a couple, smash them on the floor.
Your empties.
Your empties, then smash a full one on the floor and you'd be like, I dropped three, not drank two in that one.
That is a clever
And
you'd
just be like, oh, sorry, I dropped them.
Yeah.
That was one that used to happen that Stephen used to do regularly.
Yeah. Was it Stephen who got electrocuted?
No, it wasn't Stephen. It was Stephen's friend who got electrocuted.
Changing a light bulb.
Yeah, changing a light bulb with wet hands.
Yeah. Do you think that was a deliberate ploy just to get out of his shift that day?
Yes, because there was another one he used to do where he would... Because they've got the glass washing machines. He would purposely put dishwashing detergent. No, like, the not glass... Because glass washing detergent, it doesn't froth and foam.
Right, okay.
But, like, the like proper, like, dishwasher stuff.
Yeah.
Or it might have been must be something else that, like, foamed like mad.
Yeah. So they like would, what you'd wash clothes with almost.
Yeah, so we'd purposely put that in the glass washing machine. So much so that foam had just come out the door and pushed the door open.
Foam party.
And yeah, basically just fill the back half of the pub with foam. And he'd be like, well, that's a 4-hour job cleaning that up. Just take forever doing that.
I can't be behind the bar. I can't interact with anyone.
Yeah, I've just got a beer on my own doing that. They have a weird system there where they have wine on tap.
Okay.
So it's basically
just a box of wine, but a massive box.
Yeah, but downstairs. So I'd go downstairs. Stephen would go downstairs.
Yeah.
change the box of wine, and what you have to do is you have to like fob it through, so get it, so it's flowing.
Okay.
It's like get all the air out, so it's all just continuous liquid.
Right.
And so you'd like feed the air off a line.
Yeah.
And if you did it longer, then the wine would start to come out like this external.
Okay.
Like,
yeah. You're sort of pressurising the box, then a bit of wine starts squirting at the end.
So what you do is you put that in your mouth,
and
you just like get a bit all topped up.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm starting to put the pieces together as to where Weatherspoon staff get their inimical hospitality style, and it's just they're constantly pinching booze, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I know.
I don't know if this was this staff wide or was it just Stephen?
Oh God. Stephen was very low on the rung of ladder of there.
Were you inventing these tricks or were you being taught them?
I invented the wine one.
Yeah.
That was fun. Then I knew of some guys who just on their last day just took loads of whiskey. brazenly just walked out of it with them in their hands.
That's less of like a clever grift and that's more just like outright theft.
I used to have a fun one which was to see how many laps of the pub I could do before anyone noticed.
Just walking circles around, and then try and
widen that lap and see to like what parts of Leeds I could get to before anyone noticed I was gone.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
Well, I've worked in quite a few offices, and if I just want to like walk around for a bit, I'll just sometimes hold a piece of paper in my hand and go for a walk. And nobody really questions you because you've got a piece of paper in your hand. That's quite a good one.
Well, we used to say we were glass collecting because we'd say, oh, someone must have got out, but it was like a really busy day.
Right.
So you just walk around with a few glasses.
Oh, that's quite a good one.
Like, no. I think that's all I can really remember from the time. I remember like the food was crazily microwaved.
Right, I've heard this before.
That's the thing with the food. It's no frills, really quick.
Yeah.
Because they have this device called a meal stream. It's like in between a microwave and an oven, is what it was described to me as.
So you basically just get a load of ready meals off the back of a truck and you put them through this machine?
It's like the chips go in it. It's like it was something weird. Like they put the chips in the microwave and they deep fry the steaks in a bag. It was like, honestly, it was like the most backwards system in the world.
It sounds like a...
But it was just speed.
Yeah, I almost quite like that. Like the cook in me is slightly appalled, but the fan of futuristic sci-fi technology in me thinks like that's when we're all living in spaceships. That's how we're gonna.
Mate,
eat.
It looks like super 50s. Yeah. Like you look like little chef self down there. Like the...
Right. Okay. So not quite the futuristic utopia I'm dreaming of. Having seen the food production from behind the scenes, how happy are you now to eat in a Weatherspoons?
I'm the same level as I was before, but...
Let's
be honest, no one's going in there with high hopes.
That's true.
Like, you're not thinking it's going to be the best thing in the world. But I'm thinking I should try and get away from Stephen's antics for legal reasons. And I want to talk about, the renaissance I've had.
Right. So you... But before we get to the renaissance, was there a lull? Was there a gap where you were just not going to Weatherspoons at all?
Post working there,
you just couldn't face it anymore.
Yeah, right, I think the final straw was we had an upstairs area which like was on like a balcony level.
Yeah.
And a guy jumping off it and trying to grab the chandelier, missing, and just literally falling straight on his face.
Did he have to like leave in an ambulance?
I think I can't remember like that. I was there, but I don't think I saw it happen. But right. I got told about it. There was my mate electrocuted himself.
I mean, I hope that guy was fine, because if he's fine, that's a hilarious story.
I think he was fine. There was a guy who was not fine.
Right.
Who kicked off. Tried to start a fight, and we had like the wicked doorman there,
right?
Like, because they needed him.
Yeah.
And this guy literally picked. It was like up a flight of like 10 or so concrete stairs,
right?
And I saw him pick this guy start fighting. He just picked him from behind, like back of his collar and his belt, and just flung him down these stairs. And the guy bounced when he hit the bottom.
Ooh.
But he deserved it.
Yeah.
He didn't get up.
Whoa.
And then I was like. I might stop working here.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to go to Leeds Town Centre in any circumstances, let alone while working behind a bar there.
And I did my usual. Well, Stephen did his usual trick.
Yeah.
How do you tell them that you don't want you no longer work at a place?
Yeah.
But not have to work.
Right.
So you know, like a notice period.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Who runs in a notice and then works?
Yeah.
Like, I've told you, I don't want to work here. Like, so, stop going.
That's good. Let them work it out for themselves.
Yeah, and then so they have to fire me, pay me holidays.
That's good.
Fucking Stephen for the win.
That's if you don't need a reference or anything, fuck them.
Yeah, well, what's a reference that Weatherspoon's going to get you? Let's be honest.
Get a job at Yates's.
I mean, fuck that.
Or maybe they'll be like, you work for the enemy, you can't work here.
No, they're the same people.
Really?
No, who am I thinking of? Maybe they are. There's one of them that's just like the same. It's like, it's the one that's allowed to play music.
Oh, okay.
And I remember loads of people divert from Weatherspoon's to the other one because they're like, play music. It's not as soul destroying.
All right. So after leaving the job, you stayed away from it for a bit, but now you've got this renaissance.
So coming back to it now, it was something that I was clocked onto by one of our very alcoholic friends.
Right.
Pointed out to me that they have an app. And you know me, lover of technology and new things.
Lover of apps.
I downloaded this app.
Yeah.
And what this app enables you to do is sit at a table, press a few buttons, and they will bring your drink and your food to you with zero social interactions.
That is good.
I love it.
That is very good.
I've
experienced the app with you in Leeds Town Centre, funnily enough, at a Weatherspoons, different Weatherspoons, very hungover after a stag do, and... not having to talk to anyone or look anyone in the eye and just sitting there and going like it's just like a very localized delivery or something.
It's amazing because it also opens me up to a favorite pastime I used to have, which was the mystery drinking game, which is something me and Gus have done a few times.
Right, what's this game?
So you get your drink you want.
Yeah.
And you just buy another random drink.
Anything you like to look off, like, oh, what the hell is that?
And presumably you're buying this for another person as well, so that you'll come back and be like, look, here you are, got you.
Tell me if it's anyone.
Got your limoncello.
And so if you're having to do this without talking to anyone, and Weatherspoons has quite a varied selection.
Yeah.
Don't know why
they've
gone down that avenue.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, they've actually got a good selection of the drinks.
Yeah,
they've got nice beers. They've got good, like, local beers and stuff a lot of the time. And they've got just like a massively stocked bar with loads of spirits and that kind of shit.
Mm.
And it's all really cheap.
Yeah.
It's just that it's a bit shit inside.
I think maybe they've heard about this game.
Yeah.
And have just gone, let's ramp it up. Because like they're going to come in because it's got loads of it. And it's cheap as dicks. And they don't have to talk to us.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I almost feel like I should like Weatherspoons more. There's loads of reasons to like it.
Yeah.
Because it's...
But there's always that one underline of... It's grotty, it's horrible,
yeah.
It's probably going to be a fight.
And I've even been to Weatherspoons in posher areas, because they did that thing where they took over a load of existing pubs.
Yeah, they always take over old buildings, don't
and
they?
And sort of absorb them into the Weatherspoons brand. So you go to some of them and like, it's a really nice old pub with like nice interior finished furnishings and stuff like that.
I've never seen a nice Weatherspoons.
I have.
Where they exist?
In a suburb of Birmingham.
It's not helping anything, like my disbelief stays there.
Like, I know it sounds like I just made that up, like I'm describing my girlfriend that none of you have ever met, but it's true.
The one in the city he's all right, and it's full of fucking suits as well.
Yeah.
Not happy about that, but...
But yeah, even at those places, you still like, you know you're in a Spoons.
Yeah. And they've all got the vibe of silence and dead air and no atmosphere.
Yeah, it's not somewhere like I would go for like to hang out. It's always somewhere I go like, well, I've got to kill an hour while I'm waiting for this
it's
train.
It's either like the beginning of the night or the very tail-straggling end of a night.
And like I said, it fulfills a function.
Yeah.
Like, I just need a drink and a quick meal because I'm already out and I don't want to spend a shitload of money on my dinner tonight. Or, like, this place is still open.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
and I'm
it.
Too drunk to care about the quality of what I'm engaging in.
I'd be quite interested to find out what it's like working there now that you don't have to talk to customers as much. Because imagine if you go, right, you're on the app order.
Yeah.
You just do that.
Better.
And you just make drinks and put them for somewhere to, like, run off with them.
But what proportion of people do you think are using this app?
Amongst
Weatherspoon's clientele.
But whenever I do it, they seem like completely fine with it.
Yeah, they know about it. It's not like you're blowing their minds.
They should really, really, really fucking push this.
Yeah, it is good. Like, it's like it's...
the staff hate everyone in there, and the people in there hate everyone.
Yeah, and it is like the best thing I've heard of in pub news.
What was the thing before that? What was the second most recent best thing you heard in pub news?
Don't know, but you know, like, it's better than there now being craft beers in pubs. I'd rather have an app to bring me my food and drink than have like a locally brewed IPA or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, just bring me an Amstel and shut up.
Yeah,
don't chat to me. Like, cause the craft beer type places, they're the ones that are more likely to like actually talk to you about things and.
Oh,
I'd say, like,
God.
Oh, do you want to try this? Like, no, just, like, fucking, just give me a Heineken. Yeah. Don't judge me.
Grapefruit IPA. It doesn't taste of grapefruit. It just tastes like piss, like all IPAs.
Yeah, I think I've done that with a rhubarb or, like, a super sour one. Like,
that's, I think that's a review for another time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, also, we should also review jobs at some point.
Yeah. So, Weatherspoons... Taking both parts of my life and how it's affected it, like... the previous and now, I'm probably going to give it 5 out of 10.
I think that's bang on the money.
Mm.
Like, it's not good and it's not bad. It just is.
Yeah.
It's almost quite a sort of Zen Buddhist kind of place, really, in that it's just really at peace with itself.
It is, just in case anyone listening wondering what's going on, it is absolutely lashing it down outside.
Yeah, if you can hear, that's not just white noise because our mic's shit and we're sharing one between three of us. That too. But also it's now raining.
Yeah, quite heavily.
All right, 5 out of 10
5 out of 10 for Weatherspoons.
Perfect.
Cool. And then now, a Weatherspoons J-pop song. Can it be K-pop and J-pop?
Yes.
Thank you.
Alright guys, so in this video I'm going to be talking about my old job at Weatherspoons. I'm going to be talking about the fucking shit things that happened there and just, why I hated it, basically. Weatherspoons. Weatherspoons. Weatherspoons.
Yeah, we're at Weatherspoons. 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 Weatherspoons.
Weatherspoons.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. We're back. Welcome to the final bit of program. That was a Weatherspoons themed K-pop, J-pop, dubstep, soca, or possibly trap song.
Ooh, trap.
Yeah, I've been dallying with a bit of trap here and there.
It'd be something I'd like, but I've yet to find what the song that I do like.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get to the point where we're just going to have to invent our own genre of music and start making it so that we can find something that is funny enough.
Yeah, all right, I'm on board.
Right, so we are going to do a lightning round, but this week we've got a special twist on the lightning round in that we are going to be asking our number one fan, Gus, for his opinions on a number of topics.
Yes.
In order to just give us and the audience just a more rounded perspective on, you know, where he's at. Where he stands. These will all be canonical scores, which are going to go into the database.
Yes.
So when the British,
what a privilege.
When Excellent. The British Museum come to consider these things in generations to come, the scores that we give now will be binding on all future generations.
Yeah.
Shall I go first?
Go for it, mate.
We'll start off quite gentle, quite neutral, I think. Potentially dice.
Dice. I've had a lot of fun with dice. A lot of board games. Yeah. I'll go 7 out of 10.
Seven out of 10 for dice. Okay. Socks that go all the way up to your knee.
2 out of 10. I guess they keep you warm if you're playing sports. But I hate playing sports, so I won't wear them.
That's very sensible. Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. Scented candles.
Again, it's going to be a fairly low score because I'm not a fan, but I guess it's the alright thing for Mother's Day presents, so 5 out of 10.
That's good. That's a nice bit of oblique thinking. You've got to get them something, haven't you?
Yeah. All right, mate, the moon.
The moon, I'll give it 9 out of 10. It's important for like tides and it looks nice.
But why is it important that we have tides?
Oh, I don't know, you'd have to ask someone that, like, Patrick Moore.
You'd have to ask a fish about that. Yeah. Oh, it's me now, isn't it? Jonathan Creek.
What, the Alan Davis show?
Yeah.
I think I liked it as a child, but I've not watched it as an adult, so 4 out of 10, because I hate Alan Davis.
Oh,
all right. Where's the root of this Alan Davis animosity coming from?
He winds me up on QI.
Yeah,
with his constant like racist Chinaman impressions that he does, that pisses me off.
Yeah, and he's got one joke which is like, "I'm the dumb one."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's just and been he doing
bit
that.
A tramp's ear.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
what a fucking shit vegetarian.
He bit a tramp's ear.
Yeah, back in the day, back in the 90s.
Like Alan Creek, what is it? Jonathan Creek.
Yeah, something.
The tramp shouted at him and he just assaulted him. Like a fucking arsehole.
Why the ear? It's a weird, like.
I don't know. There's a certain type of lunatic that goes for an ear.
Children.
Oh, I mean, I was one. I used to hang out with a lot of them. But I hate them. They run around, they knock your pint over in the pub.
Why are they even there in the pub?
Why they shouldn't be allowed?
Yeah, they shouldn't be allowed in the pub.
Get the bouncer to grab them, chuck them down some concrete stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have to exist, but I wish they didn't. So I'm just going to give them a middle of the road 5 out of 10.
Okay, that's more positive than I was expecting. So you like.
It's the hat, it's mellowed me out.
You don't like them. Don't necessary really evil, want to. Really, yeah, like. A necessary evil. That's a very good description of children. Amazing. I have got Cypher from Final Fantasy VIII. The character Cypher from the computer game Final Fantasy VIII.
I mean, he's no Sephiroth, but he is.
He is not. Although his name is basically half of Sephiroth.
Yeah, and
you can't spell Sephiroth without Cypher. If you spell it wrong.
I mean, I'm going to give him 7 out of 10. He could do better, but he wasn't like shit.
Okay, quite good. Was he a baddie?
He was, but I think he was being like. Sort of misled.
Oh, yeah, like he's misunderstood.
So he's weak-willed as well as not very, like, interesting.
But, you know. I don't know who this is. all right, well, rainbows.
Rainbows? Well, they're a lie, really, aren't they? You haven't met someone who
expect that.
Like, you can't reach the end of a rainbow like everyone says. No, that's pot gold, can't touch them.
Yeah.
Like, I might be able to see one, but if you're two streets away, you can't see it.
That's true.
They're bullshit. But it's, they do look nice when you can see them.
It's a beautiful illusion.
It is. Oh, I've just instantly changed my opinion now that you said a beautiful illusion. I'm going to give them 9 out of 10.
Oh, wow. I shouldn't have tried to influence the jury quite so much. I was just trying to...
You're the WikiLeaks of this round.
I was just trying to repeat what you'd already said back to you, but it turns out my words are just so powerful.
Yeah.
More powerful than I even know. I've got 2 left. How many have you got left?
I've got 1 left.
All right, well, that works out then. Poirot.
He's Belgian, right? He's not
He's
French.
He's not French, he is Belgian. Okay. Yes.
So he gets an extra mark for not being
French. Well, he doesn't lose a mark.
No, that's true.
When you gave children a 5 out of 10, was that on the assumption that they weren't French children?
Oh, no, that's just all children. I hate them.
Okay.
Poirot, I don't really know anything about him other than he's Belgian and he has a moustache.
Yeah.
And based on that alone...
5 out of 10.
You're lucky, mate. We almost gave you Bergerac.
Yeah, I just like saying Bergerac.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Bergerac other than that there was a thing called Bergerac.
Yeah.
On that basis, quick, just from me, score for Bozarek, 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Great name.
9 out of 10, great name.
Don't know anything else about it.
Could be a rapist, don't know. 9 out of 10. Last one from me. Customers at Waitrose.
Oh, fuck. All right, settle in.
Here we go. This is it. This is what we want. This is what we all came for.
Right.
You've listened to, I'd say, about 50 minutes so far.
Yeah. And we've got another 50 to go. Yeah. Double length episode.
No, I can't do it.
No?
No, not even the hat would be able to calm me down enough to okay. get through it without just like punching myself in the face.
Okay, do you want to just go straight to the numerical score?
3 out of 10. They have paid my wages for several years, but I fucking hate them.
All right, that's a level of generosity which I think they don't deserve.
They are middle class scum.
But you're quite like Jesus in that they've wronged you, but you're turning the other cheek, and you're still acknowledging the good that they've done in the world, which is give you money indirectly.
More people should do that.
And potentially on a more positive note for the very final lightning round question, white chocolate.
White chocolate, I'm not a fan.
I did say potentially on a lighter note.
No, what is that, some kind of shit pun about it being
lighter? No, I mean that like, I thought maybe this would be
straight through you.
I just thought maybe this would be something that you would be a massive fan of.
No, I prefer dark chocolate. Darker the better.
Yeah.
It has no darkness
in it. The blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
Yeah, exactly.
So what about white chocolate though?
I'm going to give it 1 out of 10.
Worse than Waitrose customers.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Shit.
What's it ever done for you?
Yeah, it's done nothing for me. That's the thing. Except annoy me.
Okay. Hey. It's not even really chocolate. You know that.
Well, exactly. It's just cocoa
milky
butter.
Milky buttons, or whatever they're called.
It just doesn't have actual like chocolate in it. It's just got like cocoa butter.
It's a lie. Right.
Fair enough.
I mean, if you had reviewed it, Miles, what would you have given it?
I've done it quite high. I wouldn't, because I do prefer dark chocolate as well. I would have given it like 6 though.
Well, it's a shame you didn't review it then. No. So it's going on the record as having 1. Also, you two both like dark chocolate, like actual dark chocolate.
Yeah,
right?
Man.
Fucking weirdos. Milk chocolate, isn't it? It's just, it's the best. It's sweet. It's sweet. Like chocolate should be sweet. Right? Am I crazy?
You are, yeah.
All right. on that note then, we're going to wrap it up. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at raffandmails@gmail.com. We did get an email this week, didn't we?
Yeah, it was just like a newsletter from some podcast provider.
Okay.
As always, no tweets, no Facebook messages, no reviews on iTunes. Thanks, guys. Love you all.
You can follow us if you want to at Raff and Mails on Facebook.
But that's... why would you? No one gives a fuck.
Well, to be fair, we've missed several weeks of putting out the podcast and never done any of the things that we've promised. So again, it is a kind of reciprocal indifference from on both sides of the listener.
Until next week.
Recorder equation.
Next week's episode.
Oh yeah, next week's episode, or well, the one in 2 weeks' time, is going to be a very special episode.
Yes.
It's going to be a Freaky Friday style.
How much do you want to reveal? I'd say this much. It's not going to be our dads.
No, that's true. That would be a very, very silent podcast.
Yes, yes, it would be.
That would be a lot of the sounds of two men reading a newspaper or watching a film. But anyway, it's going to be a special one. We've got some guest hosts coming in. It's going to be awesome. So I'll come back for that, and then maybe after that, I don't know what episode number we're on now.
Woods.
And also the thing, the place, the shit Mexican place.
Tijuana?
No. I was gonna say that's racist. I don't think that's racist. That's just insulting a town. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know that shit place where the Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. Oh yeah, we're gonna go to a Taco Bell in Barnsley, weren't we?
Yeah, there's one in Barnsley, or there's one in Lakeside.
That sounds horrible.
I think we agreed the Lakeside one was more realistic.
Yeah. Although we are in Yorkshire next week.
Oh, shit.
Maybe we stop off at a Taco Bell. Who knows? Anyway, we've got lots of irons and lots of fires, and we're going on a magical journey, and we would like you to come with us. And as we say every week at the end of the podcast...
Oh. can we find it again? Until next time...
Yeah.
Don't be a sucker.
Is that what we say?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.